Welcome back into the Mountain View Chevy Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, downtown Chattanooga, right off I-24. It's Mountain View Chevy and online at mtnviewchevy.com, home of the low price promise and your Silverado truck champions. The number one Chevy dealer in the Tennessee Valley is Mountain View Chevy, mtnviewchevy.com. As we kick off hour number two of this Friday edition of the program, we're going to get to the phone lines. Appreciate you guys hanging tight. Up first is the Commish. Commish, what's up, buddy?
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. How are you?
Doing well, Commish. How are you?
Doing just lovely over here in Putnam County, making my way to Nashville. You know, you were talking about scheduling 5 years out. Why don't they put together a pool of the top 20, 30 sexiest schools, and then at the end of each season, fill that sexy game. So, you know, Tennessee's not good. Texas isn't good. That might be a good matchup for next year for us to go with. And then, you know, put Alabama and Clemson together since they're two of the stronger teams right now. So that way you don't have to worry and be trying to figure out who's going to be good in 5 years or who's not going to be good in 5 years.
I love it. It's kind of the NFL model. First place in one division plays first place in the other division.
I think Travis Cabbage tweeted in the other day and said that for SEC scheduling, as far as who your West opponent would be, or if you just did away with East and West, just try to tier it to where each year you're playing a team that the year before finished around you, and then that gives you a chance to like slowly kind of keep playing your way up the ladder. And if 1 year all of a sudden you strike lightning and you get really good, then that kind of benefits you. You get rewarded for getting really good in a hurry because you're actually playing teams that probably aren't as good as you. You know what I'm saying? Like, it rewards you fairly for what you did the year before, but if you somehow make a big leap in the offseason, you're rewarded for that too. I think that's an interesting concept. Boy, it would be tough to schedule that and get people to agree on it.
Yeah, it'd be fun to watch, especially in the non-conference round, you know? I mean, you could have, like I said, the top 20 or 30 sexiest programs, and, I mean, we're down, Texas is down. So, I mean, throw us together. Wherever people fall in that scheme of things, you just match them up somehow and go from there the next year.
Seems to make sense. I mean, that's kind of what happened with Texas and Notre Dame a couple years ago. We didn't know it at the time. We thought that was a great all-time college football game. Goes to, what, three overtimes. Both those teams were actually just not very good. But the game was good because they were equally matched. So you thought you were watching a better football game than you were because the two teams were even. And that's what I'm saying is, instead of going to get blasted by Oregon by 40, like, why not just play somebody who's kind of in your wheelhouse that you can, you know, play with and win? It just seems to make a little bit more sense to me.
You guys make it happen. Make it happen.
Thanks, Commish. We're working on it. I mean, there's a little pushback from the natives, but we'll fight through.
That's that sort of stuff could be so easily done with if college football could become like organizationally driven instead of conference driven. Like,
right.
You can make that stuff happen within a conference.
You would have to do like the Power Five Alliance and then say, here's how we're going to do this every year. Of course, with 65 teams, it becomes a little bit more difficult. Thanks, Notre Dame. You might have to call somebody up just to give you an even number. Notre Dame and somebody else could be in a two-team conference or something. I don't know.
They play each other every week.
Every week. Every single week. Enjoy your conference championship.
They both go 6-6.
But you're right. Like, the idea isn't hard, but the making it happen is damn near impossible.
Yeah, yeah. And there's, I mean, there are challenges with scheduling a game 1 year in advance. I mean, I still don't understand why we have to schedule these things like 7 years out. Like, it seems like you could do, again, if you had a league commissioner, you know, if this was the NFL, if there was a guy over all of college football that could just kind of say, hey, this is what we're going to, like, you could put a cap. You could say, guys, you can't schedule non-conference games more than 3 years out. I mean, wouldn't that fix everything? And then, like, on the day it opens, you'd have all these big-time schools calling each other trying to line up which team they're going to play. But it'd only be 3 years in advance. Everybody be scheduling 3 years out for their non-conference. And at least that way you'd have – I mean, you know, at least a lot of the coaches that are currently at schools would still be there. A lot of the ADs still there. I mean, this Notre Dame series Alabama scheduled is so far in advance. I mean, they might both suck. Or, you know, Alabama might still be rolling. Notre Dame might be terrible. It could go. There's no telling.
College football could be illegal.
Like, I think the last time somebody did a look back the number of years that Alabama had scheduled out Notre Dame, they looked back that far. And, like, Joe Paterno was still, like, winning 10 games at Penn State. Like, think about at that point in time, if Penn State had scheduled Notre Dame, and then by the time they got there, it was like they not only are back to being good, but they've gone through, like, the valley of you know, evilness there on campus all the way back to a new whole new regime and playing good football. It's crazy.
Yeah, the reality is when you're scheduling that far out, your mentality, I would think, especially, again, at a place like Tennessee, which is what I want, is we're going to be good then anyway. This is just a lull. We're on our way out of it. The problem is you haven't come out of it, and at some point I feel like the ideology should have adjusted. Like, Tennessee has scheduled like they're a top 10 team for the last 20 years. And while I admire the we're going to get this thing fixed, turned around, headed in the right direction, and be a top 10 team, I admire that confidence. The reality is it has not happened. So at some point, I just think when you've been this bad for a long, long time, maybe you could look at how you're scheduling and say, can we help our program out a little bit? And if you happen to have a weak schedule when you're really, really good, so what? It's what Georgia has next year. You think they're crying about it in Athens? You think they're so upset that they're not going to Notre Dame or that Notre Dame's not coming to Athens next year? Bet you they're not. Bet you they're just thinking, wow, we're going to be really good and we have an easy schedule. Let's see how far we can ride this thing. I'm just saying you don't have to schedule like you're playing for the playoff every year. Like, you just went 4-8. There's no need for you to go out and grab at a Clemson right now. If in 5 years, 10 years, whatever, you have Clemson on the schedule and it happens to where you're good and they're good, that's fine. But if you're still bad and you get beat by 50, I don't know how that helps you as a program. Like, I don't know how going to Norman and getting spanked in 2013 helped the Tennessee football program. I don't know how Butch Jones going to Oregon in first year and getting just killed helped the program. I get it. Like, it's a fun marquee game that we think everybody's watching, but they all turned it off by halftime because you're down by 30. Like, everyone says, oh, it's a branding thing. Like, if your brand is going to other people's houses and getting beat by 40, probably time to adjust the brand. You probably need to get in some games you can win. That's all I'm saying. Like, at some point, you do need to kind of, and I'm not saying a wholesale change. I'm just saying at some point, you need to adjust the way you think when scheduling when you haven't been good in 20 years.
I'll come back with that in a second. Let's get to Matt. He's been patiently holding. Matt's on the phone lines. What's up, Matt? You're on 3 and Out.
Hey, happy Friday, guys.
Happy Friday, Matt.
I disagree with you. You got to schedule these big out-of-conference opponents. You got to schedule them early. Branding, I don't think that's the right word, but I think you're still getting the exposure. Look how good going to Oklahoma and getting, you know, blasted wasn't a positive thing for the university, but I don't think it was a negative thing. I mean, they come here the next year, and if you don't have a boneheaded coach, you win that game, and I think you literally turn your program around with one signature win. And that's how important those games are early in the season like that. We've just been on the bad end of it. I mean, we've just had bad coaches for 15 years, and we haven't been able to turn it around. You know, you win one of those games, and your whole program shifts. I mean, I guess it's kind of like an all-in bet, it seems like, but I really firmly believe if we win that Oklahoma game a couple of years ago here, I mean, the program, the whole atmosphere, you know, I don't know what the word is, but there is something. What's the word? Not momentum, but, you know, when you get your culture shift changed, when you get that positive vibe and that energy, it pushes programs in the right direction, and we just haven't had that. We kind of had it with the Florida win, but
yeah,
I think that was so small of a fire lit that it just couldn't take off, you know?
I I think you.
What do you think?
I agree with you, Matt. But you got to win those games. And
yeah, but you're not giving your chance if you don't play them, though. I mean, I
but
know you
get to play them every year in the SEC, Matt. Like, I mean, if they go on the road and beat Auburn this year, like let's say Tennessee goes 7-5 and beats Auburn on the road this year, isn't that the same type of win as that could kind of spark? And then next year you've got an easier schedule. You can beat BYU. You can win a lot of SEC games next year. You got Mississippi State as your West team. You know, you can go 7-5, and that Auburn win on the road can still be the catalyst. It's not like you don't have other opportunities. It's not like we're UCF and don't have other big games to win.
No, I agree with you. I mean, we're in the most dominant conference. That's a fact. I mean, every game you play, I mean, it's a mini NFL. But these games we schedule, these early in the season, West Virginia and Oklahoma, you have to – I just think we're Tennessee's – I think now's the time. I mean, you really have to schedule those games. I like the fact they're going out. Clemson, absolutely. Because if you win that game early, you're putting your chips in, but you're saying if you win a game, if we beat West Virginia this year, the momentum for this program takes off early. And you staple yourself saying, hey, you know what? We're a good program. It's just a win. We've been good. Look, guys, we've had the talent here for 15 years. We've just had bad coaches. The culture over there has been atrocious, and the leadership's been a joke. It's just all we've had to have is just a win on the field. We need to win first, then recruit. We need to win first, and everything else will take care of itself. If we start scheduling these BYUs, I can't stand that game. That BYU game is going to do nothing for this. You win that game, you're going to be one more. I don't care about the win-loss. I care about the program taking off. And the only way we take off is by beating a West Virginia, a Clemson early, you know, getting Florida on their heels. Now you're 3-0, you'd be too big, you know. I understand you're offside too, though. I know we haven't done it yet. We've had all these opportunities. You get beat early. It was embarrassing getting trounced by Oregon, Oklahoma. But, I mean, what if we beat that Oklahoma team a few years ago? I mean, what if we beat West Virginia this year? If we replace, I'll ask this, I'll hang up. If West Virginia was BYU, just flip-flop them, and we win both games, how do you feel for the program where we're at with the current coach we have? I'll see you guys.
See you, Matt. For the record, I'm okay with West Virginia. Like, you didn't schedule West Virginia thinking they were going to be top 15 and have a Heisman quarterback. That to me wasn't you idiots, look what you've done. Going after Oregon when you did, that felt a little different. Oklahoma with Bob Stoops and how good they've been, that felt a little different. Going after Justin Fuente and getting the battle at Bristol, those feel like games to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is different at West Virginia because they got a grad transfer, they got a couple more transfers, and their offense is, you know, all of a sudden much better than it has been in the last 5 years. That's a little different, but like scheduling Clemson, very different than scheduling West Virginia.
Matt's question that he left us with was, if we were to switch BYU and West Virginia on the schedule for this year versus next year, and what that means for the program, did I understand him right?
Yeah.
I don't see it making a difference.
And he said if you win them both. I mean, if you win them both, then you're – I mean, I see what he's saying. This year specifically, if you beat West Virginia, it feels – you're going to feel pretty good early. And if you beat if you beat BYU this year, maybe you're still like, we'll see. It's just a win. It's a means to the end, which is trying to get as many on the left as you can.
For me, if you have BYU, I feel a whole lot better about getting a bowl game. And Nate, I'll let you.
Well, I go back to, I mean, I can see Matt's logic. A big non-conference win does feel different than winning in conference.
Sure.
But I go back to the fact that this is his words. He said the coaching has been the problem. If your coaching is good, you're going to have big conference wins.
Right.
Tennessee hasn't had any big conference wins. They haven't. They beat a really crappy Florida team and thought that it was a big win. When ultimately you look back on it and go, yeah, that really wasn't a big win. Mm-hmm. Butch Jones never beat a good team. Ever. He beat some middling Big Ten teams in bowl games, and he almost beat some good teams, but never did. It just felt like It felt like they did. And the you want to know the year that was closest to finding that, whatever the word Matt's looking for is the momentum word? It was when you scheduled Virginia Tech, who wasn't very good yet, but was good enough to make you feel good about yourself, and then you were right there, and you choked it away because, again, to the truth Matt was bringing, your coaching wasn't any good. You couldn't take advantage. You were right there. You had an opportunity to go into Texas A&M and get a big signature win in a top 10 game. You had a chance to beat Alabama on the road, and you couldn't do it. If that was Clemson, guess what? You wouldn't have done it either. You know, like Tennessee hasn't gotten over the hump because they haven't gotten over the hump. The schedule doesn't really like that. This don't take this conversation to mean that the schedule is the problem. The problem has been that Tennessee hasn't been good enough. It doesn't really matter if you're playing Auburn, Alabama, or Clemson, West Virginia.
And it'd be one thing if you were losing your one out of conference game, but then going to Atlanta. Like, you're not good enough in your conference.
Right. So Tennessee has not been good enough. In either big game.
Right.
Non-conference big games, not good enough. Big conference games, not good enough. Obviously, that's the crux of the issue. The question we're posing is, what's the best way to get out of the hole? And Matt's on board. He wants Tennessee to get out of that hole. He just sees it a little differently. I'll take the 2017 Ohio State team for you. Everybody's saying, oh, yeah, that Florida State game propelled Alabama into the playoff. Guess what? Oklahoma playing Ohio State, yeah, that looks great for them, right? Ohio State losing to Oklahoma kept them out of the playoffs. If they play a crap team right there, Ohio State's getting in. They're the Big Ten champs. Mm-hmm. Alabama's getting left out. So it goes both ways.
Yeah.
If you want to play the big games, that's fine, but you better win them. Because if you play a big game, like if
and
you,
that's
you
what
welcome
I'm saying
Oklahoma,
is you're not winning them right
you
now.
You welcome Oklahoma into your house in week two, and you're Ohio State, and you get beat, there went the season. We didn't know it at the time. Ohio State's season effectively... They had two strikes, right? They lost to Oklahoma. That was strike one, and they would have been fine if they'd won every other game. But they were out of chances at that point. They gave themselves no room for error, and when they lost to Iowa in conference, despite the fact that they won the championship, they end up out of the playoff.
That's the point I was going to touch on, because ultimately you want to make the playoffs, and with the way the SEC is structured, I know we keep going back to this, but if you're scheduling those teams at the beginning of the year that are just those top-notch out-of-conference opponents, it's all risk and really no reward if you win or lose, because your SEC schedule alone is going to propel you. There's not been an SEC team that's been left out because of a non-conference loss yet, correct? I can't think of one. So,
not to my knowledge.
Yeah, I mean, if it all ultimately starts with winning and losing. I mean, we all know that, and I guess the only question is, what's the best way to... It really doesn't matter, because the schedule the next few years is set. I mean, next year's schedule is cake compared to what Tennessee's been playing. It's BYU out of conference. It's Mississippi State as your rotational West team. And obviously, Alabama's on the schedule every year, and it's the same cast of characters in conference. So, I guess if maybe Matt likes this and thinks it's perfect, even though he hates the BYU game, next year when you just would need the win, you get it, and then here comes Oklahoma the year after that.
Mm-hmm.
I think
it would have been a really nice lull, frankly. Like, I don't even know if we're having this conversation if West Virginia doesn't get good last year.
Well,
I think it maybe feels a little different, because then it's like, oh, well, we went Georgia Tech, West Virginia. Virginia
NC
Tech,
State.
A little bit more of like a – but, yeah, I'm just saying, like, I'm talking about just that stretch. Like, if you say we went Georgia Tech, fired the coach, and then West Virginia, who, again, like, they jumped up because they got a quarterback and some transfers, and then BYU, like, you probably think, okay, it's a nice little lull. It's a good start for a new coach to go, especially West Virginia, BYU, before, again, Oklahoma. – The problem is West Virginia just happened to get good. And I think a lot of that is kind of stirring this conversation is, you see West Virginia, they weren't supposed to really be a top 15 team. They kind of had dropped out of favor for a while amongst the college football elites. Then they go get Will Grier, a guy you hate, and now people are kind of worried about the schedule, because what you thought was going to be a win 3-4 years ago, now you're really worried about that as an opening game loss. Because West Virginia, not the cakewalk that you kind of hoped.
Yeah, I wonder when that game was scheduled. Because West Virginia was actually better 2 years ago than they were last year. But in 2014, 2015, they were that same type of kind of mid-level Power 5 team. I mean, it Virginia Tech, Georgia
2014,
Tech,
it looks like.
NC State. I mean, in 2014, West Virginia was 7-6. They were 5-4 in the Big 12.
So Tennessee and West Virginia scheduled each other when they were similar.
In 2013, West Virginia went 4-8. So, I mean,
in 2013, you went 5-7. So you see what I'm saying, though? Like, this, they did that in scheduling West Virginia. The problem is West Virginia has been more consistent,
and then
they haven't had
quicker.
The crazy turnover. They haven't had coaching changes and AD changes and chancellor changes. So they're in a little bit better position right now. Then they got the transfer from Florida, and that's the difference. I mean, it can't happen quickly. I mean, West Virginia turned it around quick. But, like, that's what I'm saying, though. I don't have a problem with the West Virginia game when they scheduled it. The problem is they got pretty good in the meantime, and you got worse. Which, I think that's a driving point of this conversation. Just like right now, we're looking at scheduling Oklahoma again and saying, oh, but Oklahoma, they were in the playoff. Like, in 5-6 years, it could be very different. It could be, absolutely. What I'm saying is you don't know that. And right now it looks like you're scheduling a playoff team when you went 4-8. At least you can see the logic on the West Virginia scheduling. They were 4-8, they were 7-5, and you were right around there. That makes sense. That means your race to the game is even. You're starting at the same point. And what I'm saying is by scheduling Oklahoma, they're already so far ahead of you. You've got 7 years to catch up, but they're already ahead of you. So if you have any setbacks, you're going to get slaughtered. So what I'm saying and proposing is, why would you not schedule like teams for 7 years down the road? If you do that every year, eventually, hopefully, as you get better and better, you're scheduling the best teams. I just don't know why at 4-8 people are saying, let's schedule 13-1 Clemson. That doesn't make sense to me.
No.
I mean, that's a pride thing. Yeah. And that's
Clemson beating Auburn kind of kept Auburn out.
Sure. Yeah.
There's another one. Yeah, like everybody remembers the team that won. They never remember the team that lost, because the team that lost isn't playing at the end of the season. So it's hard to go back and find the Ohio States, the Clemsons, or excuse me, the Auburns, that don't make it in, because you can't remember them at the end of the year. But, I mean, if you schedule an early non-conference game that's a big one, you're essentially, and Matt might have even said that, you're just pushing more chips into the table. Because if you win it, you're going to double your money faster. If you lose it, though, like it's one strike against you. You basically have to win out to make the playoff.
I see that for other conferences, but the SEC just is so great. It's not going to hurt you if you're not playing those top teams, or I mean, if you're not playing those teams and you just schedule the cupcakes.
It could in the East, because if you lose, I mean. Theoretically, I know this hasn't happened recently, but you could lose a big non-conference game. You could lose a couple games in the SEC schedule. As long as one or both are in the West, you still get to Atlanta. You actually win the SEC championship game, but you've got three losses, and the West team that didn't go has one. I mean, that hasn't happened recently because the power's been so imbalanced.
Oh, yeah.
But that could occur, coming up. We got to hit a break on the program. We'll continue the conversation on the flip side. Stick with us right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. This segment of the program is brought to you by Gold's Gym, the official gym of Three and Out. You can find your local Gold's Gym online at goldsgym.com, and then download the free 3-day VIP pass and swing in and try it out for free before you sign up. And if you are looking to get back in the gym and would like personal training, the deal with Gold's Gym right now cannot be beat. Davey, what's going on with the training at Gold's Gym?
If you sign up for training right now, the membership fees are waived for as long as you continue to do training.
Wow. If you're going to pay for training, you might as well get your membership completely free as well. So Gold's Gym, the official gym of 3 and Out, you can make it happen right there with them. You mentioned Auburn last year, Davey, and I know they did lose the game to LSU. So obviously, if they win that one, then the Clemson game would ultimately could have been the game that left them out.
I think that is true, but you got to remember that Clemson would also be out if they had lost to Auburn, because they got beat by Syracuse.
Right. It's true.
So then Ohio State would have been in, and so the argument is, does a two-loss Auburn team with a win over Alabama get in over a one-loss Alabama team that did not make the SEC championship, and their only loss is to the team that they're debating about whether or not they're being in. So I still
That's
stand by. It's an argument.
That's probably a coin flip. That's probably my guess is at that point, Alabama probably gets in, and people say, yeah, because they beat Florida State. I don't know. I don't know if Alabama got any credit for beating Florida State last year because Francois went down, and then they weren't any good after that. I feel like there's been other years where Alabama got more credit for their opening season win. But, I mean, it really doesn't matter. I think everyone would agree that playing the big opponent early in the season, if you're a playoff caliber team, is just a double down on your schedule. It's saying, if we win this game, that's an extra feather in our cap when it comes playoff committee time. If we lose this game, it is a small setback, but because it's a really good team, there's still a path back to the playoff. And so the question, if you are in playoff discussion, is just which way would you rather have it? And that's for the AD and the coach to just kind of play their preference. Tennessee not in that realm at all at the moment.
No.
So if you're, I mean, if you're a Tennessee fan that thinks you should always schedule that way, I mean, I guess that could be a philosophy. I kind of prefer Houston's take on it, that just schedule where you are kind of constantly. Like, I don't mind that. I'm almost just as excited.
Maybe not where you are, but maybe no lower than like a 6-6 team. Right? Like, I don't want Tennessee scheduling a Power 5 4-8 team now, 7 years down the road.
4-8's only happened once.
No, so, I know. I'm just saying, like, there does need to be a floor. Like, I don't want Tennessee scheduling, name somebody who's bad in another conference.
Wake Forest.
Yeah, like, I don't want Tennessee scheduling Wake Forest every year. But if you want to go and say, you know, who's the mid-tier ACC team, Big 12 team, that makes a little more sense to me than trying to go to each conference and essentially picking the dominant team at the time. Like, we schedule Oklahoma when they're good, Oregon when they're good, Cal when they were the best team in the Pac-12. Like, just schedule even. It just makes more sense, in my opinion. That's all.
Fulmer was asked about playing games in Nashville during the Big Orange Caravan, and he said, this is a great stadium. We are working on scheduling right now. In most cases, I think our home games need to be played at home in Knoxville. We have a great place, a great setting, and so much of our economy centers around it. I don't think you ever say never, so we'll see. So, I mean, it sounded like Philip Fulmer, you know, like the Nashville game, I mean, I guess it could have some value for Nashville, for recruiting in Nashville. Jeremy Pruitt talked in front of the Nashville crowd about how much recruiting is how important recruiting is in Nashville. Philip Fulmer also, they talked about how there's like 20 families moving to Nashville like every single day. And Fulmer even talked about how the recruiting in Nashville is better now than it was when he was the head coach. So obviously Nashville is important. But I think it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to play a game in Nashville, especially if it's costing you a home game in Knoxville. And that's what Fulmer's saying. Anybody that lives in Nashville can make the trip to Knoxville for the game if they're a big-time Tennessee fan. I mean, like, Nashville's still home base either way. So I agree with Fulmer's take on that one. Jeremy Pruitt said he likes the idea of home and homes, but he did add, if there's a place you're going to recruit, it's good to play there.
Yeah.
So it sounds like Pruitt wouldn't mind some neutral site games, maybe in some recruiting hotbeds where Tennessee's going to get in.
Yep.
Atlanta obviously makes a lot of sense.
Which is why you've seen Tennessee play games in Atlanta now. Is that they played two? Is that right? What, NC State and Georgia Tech? Are those the two?
Yeah.
Not to mention the, you know, you've played a few bowl games there too in the last, you know, 15 years. But yeah, no, getting into Atlanta, obviously very important. As much as the battle at Bristol is fun, playing that game in Bristol, not exactly a recruiting hotbed in the Tri-Cities there. Getting a game against just about anybody in Atlanta, that's a good brand exposure for Tennessee. That's why you see Alabama going to play in Arlington, right? They're trying to get in there. That's why you saw Ole Miss go down and play Florida State in Florida. Ole Miss was trying to get in Florida at the time. Hugh Freeze for other reasons, but that makes sense to me. I understand why coaches would do that. That said, you go to basically, I don't want to say basically Atlanta. Athens is not Atlanta, but you're playing a game in Georgia guaranteed every other year, right? I mean, you're getting plenty of exposure in Georgia, in Atlanta, when you play Georgia on the road. I know it's a little different because they're hosting the recruiting weekend, whereas a neutral site game, you get a little bit of leeway there with giving tickets and such. But I think Tennessee's exposure in the state of Georgia is pretty good regardless of if you have a neutral site game there or not.
One in Stripes says, out-of-conference scheduling happens 4+ years in advance. You schedule where you aspire to be and to help draw recruits to play in big games, in his opinion. Do we think recruits look at – I don't think recruits look at the out-of-conference schedule when you can tell them you're playing in the SEC. I mean, like, you're playing Alabama every year. You don't need to also have Oklahoma on the schedule.
Yeah.
It's the Southeastern Conference.
I don't necessarily think it hurts to tell recruits, hey, we get to go play a game in Oregon or California. I don't think that hurts. I also don't – like, that's going to help you get, like, one or two kids maybe. Like, maybe you get a kid from California because, hey, we're going to Los Angeles in 3 years. Maybe. Maybe you get a West Coast guy because you're going to go back to Oregon. I don't know. But typically, again, Tennessee is playing or recruiting guys from Alabama, from Georgia, from, you know, North Carolina, South Carolina. Like, you're going to play games in those states regardless. And scheduling where you aspire to be, I'm with Nate, like, you're in the SEC. Like, you're already there. You just got to be – you've got to get good. I don't know that, you know, scheduling – good opponents 7 years down the road is what's going to make your recruiting classes top notch.
Yeah, Mike said, while I like the sexy neutral site game or two, the more I listen, we play Bama, Florida, Georgia, and South Carolina every single year.
It's weird that we're throwing South Carolina in there now.
Give me two or three cupcakes and one or two Hawaii's, Minnesota's, or Iowa State's.
That's what I'm saying.
Every now and then that game's going to be good.
I'm saying schedule for the fans. I'm saying I want games against, like, I want a home and home with Northwestern so we get to go spend the weekend in Chicago. I want a home and home with Hawaii so we get to make a trip to the Big Island. You know, I want to go play Colorado State. I want to go to Denver and Fort Collins and enjoy the outdoor scenery there in September. Like, that's what I'm talking about. Let's go play... Maybe not FAU.
Why not?
Yeah, they're pretty good. You know, I'm just.
What, are you scared of Lane Kiffin?
Yeah. Right now, I'm just like, give me destination games. Like, let's play. Someone said UNLV would be a bad one, but if they could play in the new Raiders Stadium, like, let's go to Vegas, baby, Vegas.
There you go, Vegas, baby.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, no one. I don't know what Clemson, South Carolina is like. Probably don't want to spend more than like 4 hours in Clemson, South Carolina.
Have you been to Auburn?
Yes. Don't want to spend much time there either.
Clemson is Auburn with a lake. That's
okay.
It's
but
identical.
You see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Like Austin, Texas, I've been there. Like, Austin's fine. That would be an okay trip. Like, Austin's a good city. But a lot of these cities, like, you know where I don't want to go?
Where?
State College, Pennsylvania. Don't want to go to Pennsylvania. I heard John and Cody talking about that. I'd love to go to see a game at Happy Valley. I would not. I would absolutely not.
What about the Big House, Michigan?
I would I'm being dead serious. I would rather go to Madison and play Wisconsin than go to Michigan.
Why?
Ann Arbor? Like, I don't care about Ann Arbor, but apparently Madison's awesome. Like, I would love to go see Madison. Much more than I would rather go see Ann Arbor or East Lansing. Same neck of the country up there, same area. Like, just I
want to go back to Notre Dame.
South Bend sucks.
It's awful.
It sucks.
It's like the worst place in the country.
I mean, it's the campus is pretty.
Yeah,
That's it. I've just told you everything you need to know about South Bend.
There's like one good bar,
rundown houses, one good bar, no food, and it's cloudy 320 days out of the year. It's a horrible, horrible place.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go play Northwestern. More winnable. And we're in Chicago. Like, come on.
Even Butch Jones did big
crap out
of those Big Ten
teams. Get some deep dish pizza and some hot dogs. Like, that's what I'm talking about. Those are games I want for home and home.
Yeah, the Northwestern game early, too. It's still kind of warm up there.
That's what I'm saying. It'd be great.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Hawaii?
Did you see their new weight room lake picture thing?
Yeah, it's right there on the water. It looks great. Well, didn't Alabama schedule Hawaii late in the year, 1 year when they were on probation or something? And that was like the reward for the kids. Like they got to go play Hawaii. See, that's just smart. SMU, Luke says, come on down to Dallas, baby. Sure. You know how much bass fishing I could do in Dallas?
It's not all about you, Houston.
Man, I'd rather, if we're doing that one.
I'm the traveling fan. It is all about me, actually. It
needs to be a little later into the fall.
That's true, yeah. That'd have to be an after the tough stretch game. That would have to be like right around when we would normally schedule our homecoming game. Mm. We go to Dallas. Oh, fall fishing? Texas? Top water.
Final segment, hour number two of the program. It was 2003 was the other year we were looking for in the break. The Auburn game, your first loss of the season, was actually in game five. But we didn't think of that one because you then lost to Georgia again the next week. So, Tennessee has not started. They've only started 4-0 once since 1998. And it was a year where you lost the next two games. So you started 4-0, and then you lost two in a row.
And 2016.
Right. Yeah.
So two times.
Yeah. That was a given. That was the off-the-air conversation. Yeah. We were, like, there are big 12 teams every year that start 4-0, 5-0, 6-0, and their fans are over the moon.
I think that based on Tennessee's scheduling, you always have Florida or Georgia right there, like in the first third or right on the cusp between the first third and the second third of the season. Like, you don't need another big win in the front half of your schedule if you're Tennessee, because if you're good enough to beat Georgia and Florida, you've got all the momentum you could ever need at that point, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And then you got to go play your West teams. So I don't know. I feel like we're just saying the same thing different ways today, but I'm okay with scheduling big games. I'm okay with big games when you're good enough to be in them. Because I get that, like, going to Oregon was a big game for us. It was not a big game for Oregon. Like, we see, like, some Tennessee fans see them as big games. The reality is they're not big games to the other team. They're big games to you because you're trying to be the underdog and sneak up and have that program-defining win. They're not big national games. Florida State-Bama was a big national game.
All right, here.
Tennessee hasn't been in that game.
Here's a question to spin it forward for last. Just, you know, we only got a few minutes left in the hour anyway. Should Tennessee, if they want to play a bigger game, should they petition the SEC to change their schedule so that the big game comes at the end? Because, like, look at this year's schedule. Once you finish your road trip to South Carolina, which is in October, mm-hmm. there's not what Tennessee fans would consider a big game, and maybe they don't even consider South Carolina a big game. I mean, after Alabama, it is a group of teams that when you were, as Philip Fulmer put it, where you want to be,
yeah.
none of those are big games. South Carolina, Charlotte, Kentucky, Missouri, Vanderbilt. So wouldn't it make more sense?
Yeah, ideally none of those are big games every year.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Ideally, you look at that and you say 5-0.
Once you're where you want to be, as Philip Fulmer put it, those games are all wins. So wouldn't it make more sense to have the West Virginia slot in this year's schedule, no matter who it is, if it's Oklahoma or BYU or Clemson, whoever, to have it later in the season, almost at the end? Like, maybe you can't get it the last week because all those teams have their stuff.
Not the out-of-conference stuff, but a big conference game, yeah. Like, it's
so you'd like to see one of the big conference games moved to right at the end.
Like, I remember in 2002, and then it happened the exact same way in 2003, Miami was your homecoming game.
Yeah.
That's pretty rare, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't typically, and then I think we were Miami's homecoming game in 2003. So, you know, because there's a disrespect thing there, so I don't know that teams would sign up to be your homecoming game if they're a top 10 team, which Miami was both years, I believe. But, like, that would be the slot to do it. I just think that's probably really hard now. So, but maybe you could take the Georgia game and put it at the back half of the schedule. Less likely because they've got Auburn there. But, like, that's, again, like, that's the thing. We've talked about that before, too. Tennessee's schedule always sets up that in the first half of the season, they've got their big games, typically.
Why not always have the rotational West game in between Missouri and Vandy like we had last year. Like that LSU game. If
that was
if,
a good time to have
if
it.
If Tennessee was really good, and I mean, that would have been a massive game last season. If even if Tennessee was kind of Butch Jones good, you know, if you were trying to win out to finish, you know, 9-3 or 10-2, having to beat LSU at home in late November would be good. It would also be an opportunity for Tennessee to have, you know, to play some home games against teams where, you know, it might be colder here. What people have complained that Florida never has to play in the cold. Like
they never do. They don't play outside the state of Florida after October, I don't think, or November.
Should Philip Fulmer push the SEC to consider maybe even just flip-flopping the Florida game till later in the year? Obviously, I don't think you get it the next to last game of
then
the season.
Then Florida's going to complain because they've got Florida State as the final game.
But, again,
my whole thing is, why does Tennessee get punished for an out-of-conference game that Florida chooses to play? Like, we get punished by having to play Florida early. I mean, we say that, but, like, Florida's playing Tennessee early, too. Like, it kind of balances out. But Florida typically gets a really easy stretch before Tennessee, and they get a couple of games right after Tennessee that aren't as meaningful. Tennessee, you play Florida, and then it's like Georgia, West, Alabama, South Carolina. I mean, like, it all comes in a row.
Florida this season goes to South Carolina on November 11th. Like, that could easily be the Tennessee game. They'd play Georgia, then they'd have a regular SEC game, then they'd play Tennessee, then they'd have a non-conference game, then they'd play Florida State.
I'd take South Carolina, Florida spot. Like, they're always, like, back half of the year. I would take that.
So, South Carolina, front end, and then you play Florida really late.
Yeah, I would play South Carolina first SEC game of the year every year. No problem. Bring it on. That's fine with me.
It's been a good game. You'd still be excited about that one, too.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a good game for a while now. I mean, I'm fine with that. I don't know if it'll happen. SEC schedules, it's tradition, right? It's ideology. I mean, it's just inbred into your skull.
I mean, like, if you were starting a professional league, like, people would say, wait, what? You're going to play the same teams at the same spot in the same schedule every single year? This is laughable.
Yeah.
This is so dumb.
Yeah.
But we don't even
think twice.
We have fans that not only want to keep Alabama in the same spot in the schedule, they want to make sure you can play them every single year.
Yeah.
On the same date, because it's got a name to it.
Yeah, it's tradition.
Tradition.
And it's not even always played on the third Saturday in October.
It's true.
But since it's called that, we have to play them.
Somewhere in that range. I don't know. I guess we could chase our tails on this one for a while. Matt's right. It goes back to you've got to have – and. Even if Butch Jones had beaten Oklahoma when they should have, or beaten Florida, I almost think that would have been worse for the program, because you still would have had...
You would have even more ammo to keep him at that
point
for a lot of people.
It would have been a lot of false momentum, a lot of false hope. And ultimately, you know, I joke that there's Big 12 teams that start the year every year, like 5-6-0, and their fans have more fun during half the football season than Tennessee fans, who basically learn their fate almost immediately. But at the end of the day, like, you still have to have a good football team. You still have to have a good program. But I mean, really, you look at the schedule. It's been since 1998, and then, you know, you got to what, 5-0 in 2016. Like, Tennessee hasn't navigated the first half of the schedule undefeated since their national championship year, when they won every game.
Mm-hmm.
That's just wild to me. There are teams every year that will start the year 6-0 and then fade and be awful. Not awful, but, you know, not reach the goals that they think they can at that point. So
the end result's the same, but at least you get to have fun for 6 weeks. I mean, when Tennessee beat Georgia on the Hail Mary before A&M, like, I mean, let's not forget they were a missed field goal away from beating A&M. If you win that game, I think they had the bye week came after. You've been 5-0 or whatever it was at that point.
6-0 headed into Alabama, and it's like probably a top five matchup,
which you would have got smoked in. But still, like, you asked, like, I don't think people remember how great that was to be undefeated that far into the season. It's like you don't get to feel that very often because your schedule is so hard so early.
Bad programs get to experience that more than Tennessee, which, I don't know, to me, if you're a Tennessee fan, I'd feel cheated. It's not fair. But, hey, if that's what you want, that's what you get. Philip Fulmer will listen to
but
you.
But also, like bottom line, if you're good, it really doesn't matter when the games come.
True.
And Tennessee, as we've said multiple times, hasn't been good enough to matter. That's what has to change. The scheduling can change or not. Doesn't matter. What has to change is Tennessee has to get better.
We were talking earlier during a break about this season, and Davey said, you know, I'm actually just excited or maybe even more excited for the NFL season because, you know, my Titans are this and that and Tennessee's rebuilding, which makes complete sense. But I said, for the first time, I'm just completely intrigued by how this team's going to look. I don't expect them to go out and win, you know, most of their games or anything crazy like that. But I'm just intrigued to see what it's intriguing to me to watch a rebuild and see, you know, and celebrate the little victories along the way. And hopefully that leads to some bigger ones down the road. We'll kick off hour three next. We'll get into some other topics.
Like moral victories, don't you mean?
No. I mean like little victories.
I'm just kidding.
You know, like Vanderbilt.
We hope.
Which didn't happen last year. Yeah. Hopefully that's on the table for 2018.